It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. A new study on race and wealth across America is raising a lot of new questions about how class and racism conspire against black boys and black men. The study was led by researchers at Stanford and Harvard and the Census Bureau, and it looked at 20 million American children and their parents over 16 years. It found that even at the very top of the income scale, black boys who grow up rich are more than twice as likely to wind up poor than similar white boys when they're adults.
For a long time, scholars have argued that class has played a big role in upward mobility in America. And I think after reading this story, it really questions that. And to understand, well, class may play a role, but it seems to be that race also has some significance here.
That's Malo Andre Hudson, an associate professor at Columbia University and director of the Urban Community and Health Equality Lab, who says the study shows in hard numbers that racism and institutional roadblocks must be inhibiting black men.
I think we have to start looking at what is it about American society that may be impacting black males in a different way. What is the lived experience of black males in America? So we should look at things like negative stereotypes of black males, either being perceived as violent or someone to be feared, or in other cases, they might be perceived as being entertainers or athletes. As a professor myself and a black male, I can tell you when I walk around my campus, oftentimes people ask me, am I an athlete? Am I a coach? Or they either fear me. And what that really says to me is that we either are here for entertainment or we're something to be feared, but there's not a lot of discussion or thoughts about us being doctors, architects, artists, scientists, and so forth.
One of the puzzling things that came from this study, Professor, is that the deviation in wealth doesn't seem to bear out for black girls. If black girls grow up rich with all of the other factors similar to white girls, they tend to be just as likely to stay wealthy as those similar white girls. It's not the case for black boys. What does that say to you?
It tells me that there's something that is happening in America with black boys and black men. So we need to look at our institutions, whether it be educational institutions, the criminal justice system, their overall experience of being incorporated or being integrated into society in a way that is positive and helps with upward mobility. Obviously, this is a complex issue and needs to be looked at further. But I would say that there's certainly something going on because you don't see the same income gap, as you mentioned, among black girls and white girls. So I would say as a professor of urban planning, I think about the built environment and community structures and institutions. And what are the ways that these are serving all members of society or in some ways might be through structural racism or bias might be impacting black males?
You know, in a lot of ways, Professor Hudson, this massive study that's gotten so much attention didn't really seem to answer as many questions as it asked. You know, it really seemed to blow the door open to this demand for more research to find out why this pretty much undeniable disparity for black boys exists in America. So as a researcher yourself, let's talk about that door being blown open for more research. What do you need to know from the data? What do you need to know from the census and other studies to start to bear out how America can begin to solve this problem?
So I would say one of the things that we should start focusing on is the overall educational institution. So what type of education are black men getting? What's their human capital look like? What's their social capital look like? I would also say that this study debunks the cognitive ability argument that says, well, it's really these innate differences in cognitive ability that might be adding to this income gap. And in fact, that if that were the case, you would see a gap among black girls and white girls, and that is not the case. So in some ways, the study's done a great job of helping us look at other factors and in many ways debunking previous explanations. So I'd say as we move forward, it would be important to start looking at the importance of early childhood education, the role of mentoring, even the role of counseling and advising services for black boys. If you're an educator, I would say looking at school systems. In the case of Oakland Unified School District, they have an African-American male achievement program that is specifically focusing on the lived experience of young black boys within the school system. And I would say as a society, that's something we may think about is as we move forward, what policies and programs might we develop that specifically address some of these issues and are targeted towards black men and black boys?
Professor, we're two men talking here, and that's fine, but you might read this study, one might read this study and come away with the conclusion that this type of discrimination doesn't affect black girls, and that when black girls become black women, well, they have it pretty good because if they grow up rich, they stay rich, and whatever this problem is, it's not affecting them. I take it that that conclusion would be erroneous, that discrimination doesn't play a role for them.
Absolutely. And I think when you're talking about the gender dynamic of women in society, and that's for all women, I would say that there's still a lot of work to be done in society, but certainly this study sheds great light because it's a longitudinal study, really looking at intergenerational upward mobility. And I think that that sheds a tremendous amount of light for researchers, for policymakers, for educators, and so forth, and many others out in society that are trying to build institutions that create a more inclusive society.
Well, you know, Professor Hudson, we're going to let you go, but I just want to talk about that animated graphic that the New York Times ran along with its report on this study that really captured, I think, the imagination of a lot of readers. You just see this pipeline of little dots, white boys and black boys, kind of flowing down the pipeline as they grow up. And then the dots that represent black boys, they just slide to the bottom. When you saw that, what were people talking about when that cartoon came out?
Well, A, how sad it was, and B, unfortunately, how realistic it is being black in America. And so on one level, many people were not necessarily surprised, but certainly hurt about the data, because oftentimes, as I said, we've talked about the role of class. But when you start looking at children who are born to parents in the top 1%, basically millionaires, and in that case, for black families as well, and they still have a likely chance of the downward mobility in ending in the bottom quintile. So I think that that raises questions among my friends and colleagues saying, what is it about American society? What is it about our institutions? What is it about racism? What is it about the overall lived experience, whether you be black, male or female, but certainly a black male, that is leading to these types of income gaps that we see? And what as a society are we going to do about it? So thinking about the labor market, thinking about institutions, thinking about the ways that we create support systems and mentoring systems and so forth that are necessary to be successful.
Dr. Malo Andre Hudson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Malo Andre Hudson is Associate Professor at Columbia University and Director of the Urban Community and Health Equality Lab. And we wanted to know, how does your economic situation compare to your parents?
This is Aisha calling from Dallas. It's hard to answer the socioeconomic question because I'm an immigrant, and in a way, my socioeconomic status is better because I have more opportunities potentially available to me. But in another sense, it's not so much better because I do have to start from scratch without family support or connections, frankly, that others might have.
Hi, this is Bruce Bennett from Plano, Texas. Only one of my parents went to high school. I worked my way through college, joined ROTC, and after grad school, managed a team of people at age 23. My advantage over my parents was education and experience at an early age.
Hi, this is Beth from White Plains, New York. My socioeconomic status is about 10 times what my parents was. I was first generation college educated, married a professional, had a career before and after kids, and have a similar high achieving peer group. It's said that your income is the average of the six people you spend the most time with. For me, that's a white collar professional group, whereas for my parents, it was proudly blue collar.
Hi, my name is Eric. I live in Philadelphia. I am in a somewhat lower class position than my father was at the high point of his career when he was a college professor, about the same level, however, that my mother was when she died, when she was renting and retired. And not being at a higher level now, I mostly attribute to personal circumstances that affected my psychological well-being and affected my motivation.
James, Dover, Ohio. I'd say much higher. My parents were both school teachers. Less education and more life experience that has enabled me to make more than most with 4 years degree, less the college debt. My parents converted from Catholic to Amish when I was 12. I left at 21, but took the work ethic that I learned with me.
My name is Pamela. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We are better off by far than our parents. They were the first generation here and worked the family business where we all learned how to work and work hard. The family business is now 107 years old and well into the third generation.
A huge discussion going on here on the show and online on our Facebook page and on Twitter as well. This is The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.